This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
We get the government we deserve. We're going to talk about that tonight. We're going to discuss Halloween tonight. We're going to discuss the communists coming for your religion because they have their own. We're going to have a lot of fun tonight on I'm Right. I want to talk first about the election. Let's do an election talk. Because let's be honest, this is a critical election. This election, it matters for you and your life, for me and my life. And maybe right now, you're hearing my words and you're seeing that little 2024 thing we have up on the screen and you're saying, yeah, we got to beat Joe Biden. I didn't say presidential election, did I? Did I say anything about Joe Biden, Trump, DeSantis, any of that stuff? My point in this is there are elections happening this year. There are elections happening right now. I'm not waiting around for 2024 for them to throw Trump in prison and steal the election for Joe Biden or Gavin Newsom. We'll get to that in a minute. I'm not waiting around for that. Waiting around for some savior in D.C. to come save me. Save me, please. No, I understand that local is our path forward. Local activism, local politics. That local election you're ignoring is more important than that 2024 election that's going to be crushing. I promise you it is. No matter how 2024 turns out. Local elections. I just voted here in Texas. If you're watching me from Texas right now, did you know we have elections right now? Critical elections right now? Well, we do. And not only did I vote, I showed up and it was me and one other 9,000-year-old man in there voting. And so I thought since I had a couple minutes, I would talk to the ladies sitting there who were working the elections, you know, give me your ID, whatnot. And I asked them, how many people have come in here and voted today? And I admit I'm voting early, but how many people have come in here and voted today? She said, you're the 10th. The 10th. Now, let me ask you something. All these people in my area of Texas, and look, remember, there's elections in Kentucky. There's elections everywhere. All these people in Texas who didn't show up and vote in this critical election for our state, for my community, how many of those people are driving around right now with the Trump 2024 bumper sticker on? How many? How many walk around, MAGA baby, Ron DeSantis 2024? How many of them walk around with their preferred presidential candidate's gear draped all over themselves, thinking they're involved in politics? You know what else? How many are posting about politics all day long on social media. They're watching the First TV, which is fine. We want you to do that. They're listening to the radio, and then they're getting on Facebook. Yeah, you're never coming for my guns. Second Amendment. And then a local election comes where your real freedom is decided. And, oh, well, I don't know. College football's on. I don't have time to vote. We've got to get so much better than we are. And we've got to drop this ridiculous savior complex we have here on the right. We have a terrible savior complex on the right. I just have to find this guy. If we just get this guy elected president, everything will be fixed. But everything won't be fixed. If George Washington himself was risen from the dead and got elected president, he couldn't fix everything broken in this country from D.C. But you can locally. Locally, that's where we begin. Those are the wins we can win, and they're the most important ones. Now let's talk about the presidential election of 2024. You know who's not on the Democrat primary ballot in New Hampshire? Joe Biden. Now, if you're believing what they say, this was a little campaign snafu, and of course they're starting a write-in campaign. But if you've been watching I'm Right for any length of time, well, this has been me. I think the powers that be are tired of Joe Biden, frustrated with him, and I think this entire thing is a coordinated effort to get Joe Biden to resign. Did you see the latest and greatest? While Joe Biden was vice president, he used a fake name, 82,000 pages of records just dropped down of Joe Biden trying to hide his true identity getting busted. Now, why is this significant? Well, it's not just that Joe Biden's corrupt. You already knew that. If you have an IQ above a rodent, you know that Joe Biden is corrupt. This is significant because it came from the system. This came from the National Archives. Why does that matter? Well, as I've been telling you, Republicans aren't going to take down Joe Biden. The low-T GOP doesn't have what it takes to take out Democrats. The only people who have the commitment and viciousness necessary to take out Democrats are other Democrats. That's the only way it's ever worked. Andrew Cuomo is no longer governor of New York. Republicans didn't do it. Democrats did that. AOC. AOC is a member of Congress. Why? Because she took out another Democrat. Only Democrats do this. Joe Biden is in serious political trouble because the system wants him gone. My goodness, how hackish and pathetic is 60 Minutes? We all reference it now like it's The View. That's how much of a ridiculous program it is. That's how much of a left-wing commie rag it is. Did you see 60 Minutes interrogating Dome over the weekend?
We were talking to some Democratic donors, and they have told us that should something befall President Biden, and he is not able to run, that there would be a free-for-all for who would run as president. You are in the spot that would be a natural for you to step up, but we're hearing from donors that they would not naturally fall into line. Why is that?
Well, first of all, I'm not going to engage in that hypothetical because Joe Biden is very much alive and running for re-election.
Ouch. The system is coming for Joe. They're going to bounce him out. And who's going to replace him? Well, the guy who's over there in China running over Chinese kids. Yeah, all that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. As for Trump, well, there's already a trial beginning to remove him off the ballot in Colorado. As I've said, awful, evil, and unjust as it is, they're never going to let him be president again. Now let's move on. Let's talk about other things. What's going on in Kentucky? What's going on in 2023? Let's talk to Terry Schilling about that in a moment. Before we get to that, let's do this. Obviously, we have a legal system that is not exactly on our side anymore, to put it mildly. And so, what do you do if you carry a weapon? Well, the common thing people do is they get insurance. What's that insurance do? Well, it'll pay for a lawyer. if I get in a shooting. But it's a scam. These insurance companies, they have the right to drop you if they don't like the shoot. Oh, sorry. Yeah, we're not involved. No thanks. You don't need insurance. You need an attorney. One on retainer. That's what Attorneys for Freedom is. Go get an attorney 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Normal people like you have an attorney if, God forbid, something happened. Right now, $50 off. You have to go to attorneysonretainer.us, promo code Jesse. That's what gets you the $50 off. Get an attorney, all right? We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way. And we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Kentucky, Daniel Cameron's running for governor. Mitch McConnell's health is not doing great. We wish him well. I wish him a long, healthy life. But if he is forced to retire, the Democrat governor that's running to be reelected, who right now and is in a position to probably be reelected, would be the person to appoint McConnell's replacement. That Democrat has already said he won't follow the law. So to anybody that cares about 2024, Kentucky is consequential.
Kentucky. 2024, yes, it's important. 2023 is here now, and it's so much more. Joining me now, Terry Schilling, of course, president of the American Principles Project. Terry, what's going on in the great state of Kentucky? What kind of state is this? Blue, red, what's going on?
Well, thanks so much for having me, Jesse. It's a red state. Andy Beshear managed to pull off an upset victory in 2019. You know, Matt Bevin was the governor at the time, and he was brave enough to take on the teachers unions, and that ended up backfiring in his face, and he suffered political consequences for it. So now you fast forward to 2023, and you have Andy Beshear, who is by any means a radical left-wing Democrat in a very red state. He's getting a lot of support from the local media, branding him as a moderate governor. But Jesse, the problem is that he vetoed a women's sports bill that just says guys can't compete in girls' sports. He also vetoed a sex change ban for minors. Right, we don't let kids get tattoos, but apparently in Andy Beshear's world, we let them chop off their body parts and get sex change procedures. It's totally nuts, and it's going to come down to the wire. It's going to be a very, very close race.
American Principles Project is getting involved. Here's an ad. I'm sure you've seen it, Terry.
Andy Beshear's agenda for Kentucky families.
I talked to Martha. She told me about Jerry.
Jerry got a new car.
I can't believe he went electric.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
Jerry.
Mom, Dad, I'm transgender.
What?
I think I might be a boy.
Honey, you know we love you no matter what, but you're a girl, so why would you say that?
Whoa. Hold it right there, Mom. You don't get to ask questions. That could hurt your child.
What are you doing in my kitchen? Get out of my house. This is a family discussion.
Not anymore. Democrats passed a law banning these types of discussions. We're gonna have to take the kid with us. This home isn't safe for them.
No, Mom, Dad, it's okay. Dad.
Learn more about Andy Beshear's equality agenda for our families. Visit lyingandy.com.
Reason I love these ads is they tell me we're moving the needle culturally for the first time in quite some time. Now, granted, we've just about bottomed out here, so I'm glad we're moving the needle, but this stuff does matter to people now, doesn't it?
No, it does, Jesse. And the thing that we just have to stay on top of is what the Democrats are doing in the states where they actually have power. And what they're doing is exactly what that ad is showing. They are ripping children out of their homes. They're allowing children to report their parents to CPS for not supporting or even having a doubt about whether the parents will support a child's gender transition. This is full-fledged Balkanism. It's full-fledged Marxism. And it's right here at home. And so we need to make sure that voters in these states, in these red states that have Democrats that are running for office, they need to know that if they don't stop them now, their state will become California, will become Washington. They're doing this stuff in Minnesota, Jesse. It's absolutely criminal, and we need to get the word out to a lot more people because this is a very real agenda.
Why does Kentucky keep electing Mitch McConnell? It's a red state, as you said.
You know, it's really tough. He usually has a really tough primary. As you might remember, Matt Bevin ran against him for U.S. Senate a few years ago, and they never repaired ties. And so it's always a tough primary for Mitch, but he's just got so much darn money. I mean, Jesse, you think about how much money the federal government hands out every year. It's over $6 trillion, and Mitch McConnell is the head of one chamber that has a lot of sway and power, and so he's just... It's tough to take out any majority leader or minority leader. They just control so much money and have so many different friends.
Speaking of Mitch McConnell, him and the new Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, are apparently at odds. Mitch McConnell, of course, wants Ukraine money tied to Israel money, so the American people are forced to fund something they don't want, which he does. Mike Johnson says he wants something different. Who's going to win this little peeing match?
Well, this is a great first test for Mike Johnson as Speaker, right? We're going to see just how much there is there. I think the real problem is, Jesse, is that there's just too many hawks that are still in the Republican Party. They want war. They want to keep fighting this stuff. They want their own world war. I mean, these are sick people who don't have children that they're worried about going to war. I have, you know, six kids, three boys that I definitely, well, they're going to draft girls too. Who am I kidding? It's preposterous, but there's just too many people in both parties that want war and want to escalate things instead of getting to peace.
We're borrowing $776 billion for the final 3 months of the year. The numbers we've been reading are staggering this year. Just a trillion over this 3 months, $600 billion this month. It's like the people who run this country, Terry, are completely unaware of the fiscal freight train that is coming for all of us, and there is no escape from it.
No. I think they are aware. I think that they know exactly what they're doing. They are milking this cow to death, and they are going to bleed it dry. Look, Jesse, I think we need a new strategy. If we really want to balance the budget, instead of talking about fiscal sanity, you know, we've had trillion-dollar deficits for years now, over a decade, I think, ever since Obama got in there. We need to make the moral argument against what the federal government is spending, right? And they're spending money indoctrinating our kids to hate their country, to not believe in God, to believe that men can have periods, that men can have babies. They're doing evil stuff, and they're making our kids moronic, right? Only a third of American kids can read at grade level. and that's across fourth grade, eighth grade, it's across the spectrum. It's a nightmare, and we need to make the moral argument that the government is actually weaponized against the American people, and that all these government programs, they tell you that they're helping us, but they're actually killing us. That's how we're going to balance the budget, is by making the moral argument against all of this insane and harmful spending.
Terry, where's all this foreign spending going? Because I, for the first time really in my life, I'm starting to see people actually in both parties push back on it a little bit. Hey, we don't have money for that. Hey, what are we doing with that? Is the mood of the American people starting to shift from the be everywhere, fund everything at all time, to let's take care of the home front?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I think, you know, after 9/11, things got very heated and Americans were ready to go and just kick some butt. And we needed to after that. But it's been a long time since we've actually been attacked and provoked. And I think most Americans just want to get back to focusing on our own country, on fixing things here. We got enough problems here at home. We can't be meddling around in the rest of the world. I think that's how most Americans feel.
Speaking of Israel and Hamas and foreign affairs, Christopher Wray testified today. This is what he had to say.
But as I said a few moments ago, on top of the homegrown violent extremists and domestic violent extremist threat, we also cannot and do not discount the possibility that Hamas or another foreign terrorist organization may exploit the current conflict to conduct attacks here on our own soil. We have kept our sights on Hamas and have multiple ongoing investigations into individuals affiliated with that foreign terrorist organization.
Yeah, Terry, I remember this terrorist organization. It was back in August. There's a terrorist organization operating right here in America. They actually kicked in the door of a fat 75-year-old man who's handicapped, needs a cane to walk around, and they gunned him down in the dead of night. This organization is extremely dangerous, but I don't remember the name. I think they go by some letters, I believe. Terry, remember?
It might be the FBI. Guys that did Waco, the guys that have done numerous atrocities against us. Jesse, the thing that I don't know if you're trying to get me to scream the F word on air or just absolutely lose my mind, but these guys have blood on their hands. The first attack from Hamas or from any of these terrorist organizations, it's on them. They have been going after grannies and old men that can barely walk and take care of themselves, all because they took a tour of the Capitol when the Capitol Hill police were letting them in the doors. It's absolutely criminal. They've been letting these people in through our southern border, refusing to secure it. It's so enraging. They're more focused on criminalizing and declaring that parents are terrorists for showing up to their school board meetings than they are actual terrorists like Hamas and like Al-Qaeda and like ISIS. All these people, they're just letting them in to the southern border. There's going to be an attack, and it's going to be their fault. But guess what? They're just going to blame us over it and over again, because they can never take the blame, because then they lose power. It's so frustrating, and I usually don't talk about this foreign affairs and this type of stuff, but it's so obvious that they just want to destroy this country and kill innocent Americans.
Friggin' maddening. Terry, thanks, brother. I appreciate you.
Hey, thanks, Jesse.
All right. Now let's talk about something that's equally as maddening. Being stuck in a timeshare. Maybe that's you right now. Maybe you're in a timeshare and you want out of it. You're done. And you've tried to get out of it. Maybe you've called. Maybe you sent an email. Please let me go. And what do they tell you? Well, you signed the contract. Sorry. Can't do that. You sign the contract, you're stuck for life, pay your annual fees, and now you think you are. I've actually heard stories of mothers dying and the child gets stuck with the timeshare. Can't get out of it. Call Lone Star Transfer, please. Lone Star Transfer will get you out. They put it in writing. They're 99% successful. That's why they put it in writing. They give you a time frame. They'll get you out. You're one phone call from freedom. This is a family business with the reputation they have for a reason. Call them. 844-310-2646. 844-310-2646. We'll be back.
Hey there. I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way. And we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
What do you believe? Do you have a religious belief of some kind? And look, I'm not here to preach at anybody, and I'm not qualified to do so, so don't worry about that. You're not going to get that. But we are going to have a talk here about communists. Not about you and your faith or lack thereof. We're going to talk about communists. You see, for the purpose of our conversation right now, you don't have to have a religion, but you do have to do something. You have to, and it's not an option, I'm sorry, you have to. You have to understand that the communist does have a religion. Even if you don't, even if you're a card-carrying atheist, whatever it is you believe, fine, you believe what you believe. But you have to understand he is a religious person. He is a religious zealot. And not only does he have a religion he practices, he is devout. Do not dismiss how devout he is. Do you you believe in Jesus? Are you a Christian, maybe? You are committed, right? Jesus, Lord and Savior, you're committed, right? He's committed too. Remember that. You look at everything through that lens. He looks at everything through his religious lens. He is religiously committed. And his religion, not only is he devout to it, it's a bit of an exclusive one, meaning it doesn't suffer other religions, competing religions. Now, obviously, this is something that we've seen over and over and over again with communists throughout history, and it doesn't really matter what the religion is. In the Soviet Union, they had a long-established Orthodox church there. When the communists, the Bolsheviks, took over, those churches were in very deep trouble. The assassination of the priests, the raping and murdering of the nuns was really bad. Mao takes over China. They were tearing down the Buddhist temples and torturing the monks to death. The same thing happens over and over. Spain, the communists take over Spain. Again, crucifying the priests on the altars and gang raping the nuns before they murdered them. The communist is religious, and he does not share. He's not going to share with you and your religion. And every now and then, these people will just kind of, well, it just kind of bubbles out of them. Here's Jen Psaki talking about devout Christian Mike Johnson.
First glance, Mike Johnson does seem fine, fine-ish. Conservative, yes, but he once started a civility caucus with a Democrat. And I mean, if nothing else, he wears a suit and has glasses. How threatening can this guy actually be? Well, He gave us all a little clue as to how he would govern in an interview this week. The Bible doesn't just inform his worldview, it is his worldview. In fact, during his first speech in his new job, Johnson suggested that his election as speaker was an act of God. Talk about a bit of a humble brag there. So what exactly has God apparently called on Mike Johnson to do? Well, his views on policy are essentially what you'd expect from a religious fundamentalist. They're more divisive than they are divine.
I credit her. She's being very honest. And remember this. It might be tempting, especially if you're a Christian, it might be tempting to think that Jen Psaki is anti-Christianity. Not really. She's anti any other religion than communism. Christianity for her is a competing religion. And her God, the communist God, he doesn't share. He's not going to share religions. You see, Jen Psaki is a religious zealot, extremely devout, and she's not going to tolerate others. And they all think that way. And that actually leads me to something else I wanted to address really, really quickly. Because what you're seeing, people are making it about religion. They're making the Democrat Party anti this or anti that when it's not necessarily that. You see, their religion is a different kind, a different kind. Corinne Diversity Hire has been out there recently, and she's been catching heat for various things she said about, well, Hamas, anti-Semitism. Here was Corinne Diversity Hire.
Remember, what the president decided to, when the president decided to run for president is what he saw in Charlottesville in 2017, when he saw neo-Nazis marching down the streets of Charlottesville with vile anti-Semitic just hatred.
We hear you guys don't talk about extremists all the time. It is usually about MAGA extremists. So what about these protesters who are making Jewish students feel unsafe on college campuses? Are they extremists?
I've been very, very clear. We are calling out any form of hate. Any form of hate. It is not acceptable. It should not be acceptable here. And we are going to continue to call that out. And let me be very clear. This is a president that has continued to have that fight in his office, in this administration. You know, when he repealed Trump's Muslim ban on his very first day in office, that is something that this president did.
Did you see what she did? And it was a good question by Peter Ducey. I want to make sure he gets credit for it. You've been calling out extremists. These people have been very honest about what they think about you. They've told you time and time again. They think you're a Nazi, white supremacist, evil, racist, all these things. That's what they think about you. President of the United States himself got up and gave a public address to the entire country, calling you a threat to democracy, a threat to the foundations of democracy. Why don't they have the same level of condemnation for Hamas or Hamas supporting protesters here in the United States of America? Why don't they call them extremists, but they call you extremists? Well, it's quite simple, really, back to what we were just talking about. You see, the pro-Hamas demonstrators in this country, they belong to the same religion of communism here. It's all just Marxism. It's all just cultural Marxism. There's a reason they're all the same protesters you've seen before. You, however, you're a competing religion. Hamas, same religion. You, competing religion. Hamas, they'll be handled with kid gloves. You, you'll be labeled a domestic terrorist. Do I need to remind you the little secret memo that leaked out from the FBI some time ago, listing the terrorists they were worried about and the symbols those terrorists might be using? Dangerous symbols like the Gadsden flag, the Betsy Ross flag, you know, a bunch of symbols used by American patriots. They're very focused on their religion. And they're very focused on destroying any competing religion. And they will when they can. All right, we're going to move on. We have other things to deal with. Commies on college campus and more. Before we get to that, let's do this. These people are assaulting everything, trying to destroy it all. And they've been quite successful, let's be honest. And they are attacking our food supply. How many clips have we played you before of the World Economic Forum, to John Kerry, to Bill Gates, talking about you and how you and your food is destroying the planet and how they have to stop you? They're going to stop you from eating meat. They're going to stop you from growing agriculture. They're going to stop. What are you doing to protect yourself for when these people start really, really succeeding? Why do you think the cost of burgers is $6 a pound now? Get an emergency 3-month food kit before you need it. My Patriot Supply sells them. They're prepped, ready to go. They ship fast, and they ship free, and they ship anonymously, and they're $200 off each kit right now. Everyone who lives in your home needs an emergency 3-month food kit. That's basic preparation. Go. PrepareWithJesseKelly.com. Get one today. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way. And we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. 3 times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Our diversity is our strength, and our unity is our power as a nation.
Hi, I'm Major Rachel Jones, and what Pride means to me is celebrating that diversity is our strength as a nation and as an army.
We believe our diversity, our differences, when joined together by a common set of ideals, makes us stronger.
Who we are as Americans, embodying the simple truth that our diversity is the strength of this nation.
No, it's not. Diversity's death. That's what it is. It's the death of everything. As soon as you prioritize something that's not important, whatever you're doing will die, slowly but surely. Joining me now, a professor, Professor Nicholas. Is it Giordano? Is that how I say that? I don't want to mess it up, Professor.
You got it.
Giordano. Professor Giordano, Higher Education Fellow at Campus Reform. Professor, is diversity our strength?
No, that's a myth. And unfortunately, it's a myth that's been going on for too long. What our strength is assimilation. The reality in America is that there's nothing that really links us together. We're a whole bunch of different people from different places that come together to create one nation. We don't have 2,000 years of recorded history. We don't have one shared culture and customs and traditions. And so we have to figure out a way. How do we link this society together, make it work and coexist together? Because if you look at any other society, slight variations leads to warfare, leads to attacks on each other. Here in the United States, we've made it work by understanding that we have a melting pot that people go through. They assimilate to American culture, shedding some of their previous culture, and adopt American political philosophies. the appreciation for concepts of liberty and freedom, the appreciation for capitalism, the appreciation for individualism, that we are in control of our own destiny, and the concept, the all-important concept of limited government that we've long forgotten about. Now, you have to assimilate into the culture in order to appreciate America. What we've seen with this diversity is our strength nonsense is that's a tribal society. You create these groups, and then these groups end up going after each other, and we're witnessing that today.
Professor, how is that, the diversity, the focus on a ridiculous concept as you just laid out, how has it led to what we're seeing now on college campuses? A lot of people, now I've been all over this for a while, as have you, but a lot of people are just now waking up to the fact we have a bunch of vicious little commie monsters on our college campuses. How did diversity get us there?
Yeah, well, I can't believe that people are shocked by this. At campus reform, we've been warning about this for well over a decade, and unfortunately, people weren't paying attention. Our education system is no longer based on actual education. It's based on indoctrination, and our education system breeds ignorance throughout our society. It's not about facts, and it doesn't just start at the college level. It begins all the way in kindergarten. When we look at the K through 12 system, most students don't even know about the Holocaust. They can't talk about basic facts that Hitler rose to power through the democratic process. They can't name one concentration camp. They don't know how many people died in the concentration camps. Then you look at American history, only 13% of American students demonstrate proficiency in American history. That includes World War II. How can we survive as a nation if you don't understand the nation? And as they go through this failed education system, they're then bombarded with messaging of anti-Americanism, anti-Western civilization, anti-Semitism, and that makes it very easy at the college level to indoctrinate students when they don't have a foundation and an education. They can't critically think for themselves. They can't problem solve. It leaves them open to the messaging and the indoctrination that's taken place. That's why it's so radicalized on these campuses.
Professor, one of the things that concerns me greatly is our elite college campuses, the Harvards, the Yales, the Cornells, NYUs, these types, the kind of schools I could never get into, the kind of schools that produce our leaders in this society, and they're a disaster. Either they're getting China money, they're getting billions from the Arab world, and these are the universities that are the most radical, and that's not an accident, is it?
No, it's not an accident. We put out a report of billions of dollars being transferred from governments like Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Qatar, the United Arab Emirates, and the big one, obviously, is China. They've been able to infiltrate our college campuses. And we know about the sophistication of the Chinese apparatus with their influence campaigns. When it comes to the Arab governments, we don't know a lot about where this money is flowing to, what's the intended purpose for it. And that's something that Congress should be looking into. I mean, I held a security clearance for years, and I had to report every single time I had contact with a foreign national. These colleges and universities don't have to report the contact, what the money's going to, what's the intent behind it. And we don't know if some of this money is hitting these student groups that are essentially calling for a second genocide. These are not Palestinian protests. These are pro-Hamas protests. They're supporting a terrorist organization. And you see the Marxists fusing with the Islamists, and that's the conditions that we're in. And you're right, every American should be terrified, because these are the future leaders, right? These are the future policymakers, doctors, lawyers, industry leaders. And so where are we headed as a society? And as our nation declines, well, just look at the education system. It directly correlates. The failures in education directly correlates with the death of a nation.
Why the crossover with the Islamists, the jihadi lovers, and the American communists? All those kids who were at the Black Lives Matter rallies, the Antifa rallies, they're all the same kids now at the Hamas-loving rallies. What's so appealing?
Yeah, apparently Jewish lives don't matter. That's what we're witnessing on these college campuses. But it's because everything is based on emotional arguments. And we don't use reason, logic, or even common sense anymore. I mean, if you ask the majority of these students that are protesting, when did Palestine become an official nation state? Most will say off a random date, yet Palestine was never an official nation state. Palestine didn't exist. It was Israel. Then it turned into the land of Palestinians through the Romans. and Jews were referred to as Palestinians up until the early 20th century. Yet they don't know these basic facts to understand it. They don't know that the Arab governments invaded Israel not to free Palestinians, but to take over the lands for themselves. And so it really is remarkable. If you challenge them, they can't answer questions, but they're driven by emotion. And that's what our education system has done. It's not about facts anymore. It's about using emotion to push a political agenda. And they've done a good job of that, as we're witnessing. These are not small protests going on college campuses. Now, here's the crazy part. If you protest in support of conservatism or limited government, you're going to be relegated to some obscure part of campus in one of their free speech zones, because your protest in support of limited government or conservatism can trigger other students. Yet here we actively have students calling for the annihilation of Israel, and yet they get to protest wherever they want on the college campus. Truly remarkable.
Do you think parents are starting to wake up to the poison on college campuses now? Look, when I was a kid, I even went to college for a year, and of course I failed out before I joined the Marines, but that's how I was raised. That's how everyone my age was raised. You gotta go to college, you gotta go to college. Is that going away?
Yes, I think that's actually gone. That was a myth that in order to live a successful life, you need to go to college, when the reality is there's actually alternatives where you could be just as successful and not have to spend $150,000 getting indoctrinated, whether it's two-year schools, whether it's trade schools, whether it's starting your own business. But parents have woken up, because what they see is they invest all their money in this education, and then when their kids graduate, they can't get a job. And nobody wants to be $100,000 in debt and be living at home with their parents and become a store clerk. So I think a lot of people started to re-question whether or not college is useful. But also, we've seen major corporations, Google, IBM, Tesla, Bank of America, Walmart corporate positions. We reported at Campus Forum how they have done away with the four-year degree requirement for a lot of positions. States like New Jersey, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and Virginia have also moved away from four-year degree requirements, because the education system is not properly training students to be productive citizens, to critically think and problem solve. And so there's going to be less value for this piece of paper that people are receiving. And now that the donor class has finally woken up, you thought it would have came about when they were pushing anti-Americanism, but they finally woken up where they're not going to be contributing the money anymore. They've already threatened to stop the donations. That will get the attention of the administration of these institutions, and it will force them to change their behaviors.
Yeah, let's hope so. Professor, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
All right. We're going to lighten the mood coming up next. In honor of Halloween, I'll go through the various stages of Halloween. Before we get to that, let's do this real quick. Look, we brought it up at the beginning, the debt and the money and the $776 billion in just the last 3 months of this year alone. You know what's coming. Everyone knows what's coming. You heard Terry Schilling earlier in the show. The elites know what's coming. Everyone knows the bill is coming due. So what can we do? I can't control the money supply. You can't. What can we do? We can take steps to protect ourselves. That's all we can do. That's what gold or silver is. Owning gold or silver coins. I don't care which one. But get some precious metals in your physical possession. Oxford Gold Group, they ship it right to your home. All anonymous, all insured. You don't need a bank vault. It's not gold bars. It's just coins. Lasting value these people can't possibly destroy. They'll also get it in your retirement to make sure your retirement is not wiped out. And they make it all really, really, really easy. Go to jessekellygold.com, all right? jessekellygold.com is your one-stop shop for all that. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country, without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way. And we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it is Halloween. Happy Halloween, everybody. And I was thinking about this over the weekend, about Halloween. And let me tell you what prompted me to think about it. I'm 42 now. I was actually looking forward to it. Why? Well, no, I'm not dressing up and going trick-or-treating. But I was looking forward to handing out candy, all the neighborhood kids coming by. I was looking forward to it. And it occurred to me that you really do go through stages when it comes to Halloween. And these are the stages that, I mean, look, I'm rough on the years, but this is pretty close to it. First of all, and this is going to hurt for the ladies. I'm sorry. But the baby's born right up to the age of 2-ish. That baby doesn't care about the stupid Halloween costume you put on them. It means nothing to them whatsoever. Nothing. This is a time for mothers to dress up their babies as if they're Barbie dolls and show them off to their friends. The kid gets nothing out of any of this. If anything, the kid gets annoyed by the various costume items. That's why they're tearing them off and eating them. Halloween sucks for kids. Then you get to the golden years of Halloween. 3 to 10, 11, somewhere in there, 3 to 10. Why are these the golden years? Because you still have an imagination at that age, and it's the one time a year you get to actually transform yourself into whatever thing you love. I can't speak for girls. You know, I see all the princess outfits and stuff, but for dudes, we were always some kind of superhero or super soldier or something like that. You know, what little boys get in that for that night. That's what you are. Those are the golden years. Then, the real, real crappy Halloween years. That's 11 to 15 or 16. Why are those crappy? I'm going through this right now. Both my sons are in this stage right now. They don't care about getting dressed up. Your imagination doesn't work the same way anymore. They don't want to get dressed up. It's more of a pain. They like candy. We'll force them to go around, maybe get a couple candy bars that I can steal, but you don't get anything out of Halloween. And you haven't gotten to the next stage quite yet of Halloween, which brings us to the next stage. About age 16, 17, to whenever you get married. I can't speak for women, but for dudes, Halloween is only about girls from that point forward. The chicks get dressed up. They tend to look pretty good. When you're a dude at that age, that's basically all you can think about at all times. Anyway, Halloween really becomes a magical, magical holiday that you really can have a great time in. And then you get married. And oftentimes you met her on Halloween night. And early marriage Halloween sucks too. And here's why. Because you're still young and impatient. And when the kids come up and trick or treat, it's okay for once or twice, but it ends up getting pretty annoying. You don't care anymore, and the wife's always in, come to the door, look at a Spider-Man outfit, and you don't care at all. You just don't care. It gets boring. But then you get to where I am, an old man, gray in my beard, hair falling out, had to buzz it down. I'm now at the age, and I assume this will last forever, but I'm in my 40s. I can't wait to get off work tonight. As soon as I'm done bringing you Light in the Mood, I'm going home, and I'm going to have fun handing candy to the kids. And I am proud to announce the Kellys are officially full-size candy bar people. We have Crunch Bars, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, and I think we were going to get Butterfingers, but we didn't. But we have Crunch Bars, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, oh, and Starburst. Full-size, everybody. So there. Those are the stages of Halloween. Have a happy Halloween. Enjoy yourself. I'll see you tomorrow.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fia is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.